This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning, everybody. All right, so this is the second part in the series. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly run through what I mentioned last week. And I would suggest that for you to get this, to go and download and go and listen to the sermon from last week. And the reason is many of us find ourselves in life stuck. Somewhere in our lives we find ourselves stuck. Or somewhere in life, during the whole process of life, you'll have a season where you find yourself stuck. And so I mention some of the reasons why I believe we're stuck. Now, what I'm not doing is doing the typical, okay, here's the 5 steps to unstucking, okay? Or doing like, okay, well, maybe you're in the wrong career, so let's relook at your career, or that's not what I'm doing here. What I'm doing here and what I'm trying to open up here by the Spirit is to really look at society. And go, why are we as Christians stuck? Is that good? Does that make sense from last week, guys? Yeah? All right, amen. Okay, brilliant. So we're looking at stuck. Last week I said something. I'm going to open up with a statement. I'm changing that statement this week. So, sometimes it's the devil that causes us to be stuck. Most of the time, it's us. Most of the time, we're stuck because of us, not because of the devil. So we so often, when things don't go right, go, the devil is loose, all right? And then you look at your wife. This morning, my child, for the first time, read the Bible, and I can say she absolutely devoured it. And I don't know if you as holy about your Bible as I am. As I'm watching this, my child tear out these pages, my heart sank. Absolutely sank. So it was the devil. And you just look at child, and she's so pure. You know, and you can't blame the devil, and you can't blame your wife, and you can only blame yourself. You can't blame anyone else. But what a joy. What a joy when God gives you these gifts. But to recognize, maybe it's not the devil that's so involved in my life. Maybe it's just me. All right. So with that first bombshell, you're going to be okay. Some of the reasons we looked at last week was why are we stuck? And we spoke about comfort. We spoke a bit about identity, a bit about fear, but we spoke mostly last week about comfort. And we had, as we go to the next slide, we had the scripture on the pool of Bethesda. And the man that was sitting there 38 years, stuck at the pool of Bethesda. And we looked at what does that pool represent? It represents our jobs, our church, our friends, our career. We spoke about, after that, we spoke a little bit about false hope. So we go to the next slide. Spoke about false hope and the funny mythology. Anyone remember the guy's name? Sisyphus. And the story of Sisyphus was that he pushes this boulder. He's been cursed by the gods, small g, to for the rest of eternity to push this boulder up this hill, and as soon as he reaches the top, the boulder goes back to the bottom. And then he starts over. And I say that for many of us, it represents our mundane lives of Monday to Friday. Start your job on Monday, and Friday, you just can't wait for weekend, and you have this moment of bliss, and you spend all your money, and you go to every restaurant you can go to, and you buy a jet ski, and you do whatever you can. And then Monday, you go back to that boulder. And we start from scratch on Mondays. And we spoke a little about the false hope that enters into that. And then we spoke about, as we go to that final pick, We spoke about the mat. And that there, you can't see someone in the, is a boot stuck, a gum boot stuck in mud. And we spoke about how the comforts of life, and all we're trying to do is pull our foot out of this mud. But to get your foot out, you're going to have to take your foot out of that gum boot, and you're going to have to put your feet in the mud. And that's uncomfortable for many of us. And the mat that this man had to pick up, as Christ said to him, pick up your mat. And what does that mat represent? It represented being comfort and having comfort. So for us to understand, to come out of being stuck, first of all, we have to recognize that Christ is calling us out of comfort. And that's uncomfortable. All right? And the reason it's uncomfortable, because as mankind, we tend towards comfort always. All right? We tend towards comfort always. And when things get uncomfortable, we will shy away. Don't know if you ever slammed your door in your finger on a car, in a car door or something like that. It's uncomfortable, right? It's not like you leave your hand there. Slam, 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 slam. No, you go, no, that's enough. We get away from the discomfort. So we're always trying to build comfort around us. And what we ended off was saying that Christ brings discomfort. If you look at all the times Christ speaks to the people, there's a part that's uncomfortable. So much so that he's got his 70 disciples and he says, right guys, if you want this, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they go, well, we're not vampires and we're not going to do zombies and we're not cannibals, so we're out of here. And only the 12 goes, where else will we go? Who else can give us life except for Christ? Only 12 of the 70 were able to deal with the discomfort. Same with the upper rooms. Funny enough, I didn't mention this last week. Same with the upper rooms. So God says this song, send my spirit, go wait. And they wait, and then they just start leaving. 500 and leave and leave and leave again. Till only the remnant remain. And then God comes. Because it's uncomfortable. Right. So we're speaking about stepping out of stuck. And this morning, we're going to go into something, another part of being stuck and unstuck. So, God really desires for us to understand and move in rest and in peace. As a student, for those of you who know, in December, we've got in Stellenbosch a river. It only flows in the winter. And it's called the First River. Now, the beautiful thing about the First River is that it is the fastest flowing river in the Southern Hemisphere. Did you know that? Oh, wow. Now, the good news for students is that during winter, we all go down to the tire places and we go get tracker tubes. We blow up these tracker tubes and then we go down the river. The problem about the fastest flowing river in the Southern Hemisphere is that when it's in flood, that's not when you go down, and many people have drowned. And my roommate and I decided that we're going to go right from the top, as far up as we could go. We climbed on these tracker tubes, and off we're going. Now, he is next level. He's got South African colors for rowing, so he's next level. But I don't know if you know, you can't row on a tracker tube, but... And we're both in the water, and it's not even a minute, and we both flipped off. And it's just chaos, and it's like trees coming past you, right? And somehow, this man, I've seen a man walk on water. He literally just, I don't know how, just and he was out. And I couldn't get out. And I'm going down at the speed of light down this river. And I remember I get stuck in a bush. And the water line is just here. I can see the fresh air right there. My hands are out. I can see, but my mouth just can't get there. I'm outside of peace. I'm outside of rest. And I'm so far from it. It feels to me so many people live in that space. So many of us are living the mundane life so far from peace and rest. We know Christ, we know rest, we know what it's supposed to be, but we just can't get there. Let's close our eyes. Father, we come and we bring ourselves as we are this morning, and we pray that as many of us find ourselves stuck in life, many of us maybe in a midlife crisis, many of us asking questions about what is my life about, why am I here? Pray that you'll come and meet us where we are. And we ask that we will meet the King of Peace. Help us, Father, to get unstuck. In Jesus' name, amen. The good news is I'm here, which means I didn't drown. I lay awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you're my helper, I sing for joy in the shadows of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Psalm 63. The question here, as we see the psalmist write, is what keeps you up at night? What consumes you? For most of us, what consumes us on a Sunday night is not the beautiful word that we've received or meditating on God, but the fear for the week to come. It's, I've got deadlines, I've got to make sure this is in place, I've got to make sure that's in place, do enough food for the week. All these things consume us at night, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm speaking to the wrong crowd. All right, so we move on. Not a problem that we struggle with? Not? Yes? Maybe? A little? Little? Come on now. Thank you. What consumes us? I'm going to tell a little story out of Scripture about our favorite friends, the disciples. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, do you not care that we're going to drown?" Let's stop there. So many times when storms hit our lives, is that not how we feel? Jesus, do you not care? Jesus, where are you? Why are you not coming through for me? Then Jesus woke up. When Jesus woke up. I love that. I know I've shared this before with us. When Jesus woke up, he was a good sleeper. And he had a cushion. So it was really lekker. It was a comfortable boat. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped. And there was a great calm. And so typical Jesus, he turns to them and says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And notice how the disciples respond. They were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him. I find this such a beautiful picture of Christ and us. Now, I want to say something that's going to make hopefully your life a little easier. Most of the time that the disciples spent with Christ, they missed it. Most of the time. And yet God keeps giving grace. Christ keeps giving grace. Like, this moment is like, seriously? We've been doing this for a while now, guys. Are you still gonna not trust me? So there's grace for us to miss it. There's grace for us not to get it. But Christ is after our faith. He's trying to say to us, listen, ladies and gentlemen, come on now. You can do this. That's why I'm here. So last week we looked a little bit about faith. We started on faith. We spoke about false hope. And we spoke about comfort. This morning we're going to speak about, and I want you to keep this in your mind now, our dwelling place. Our dwelling place. And authority. There's two things this morning that we're going to focus on. And as we heard in that first psalm, a good way of testing the fruit of your life is to look at what consumes you in the nighttime. What are you thinking about in the nighttime? As you lay your head on the cushion, what do you meditate on? Are you with me? So it's a good place for us to go and say, Lord, I'm not like that psalmist. I don't think like that. I don't go, wow, clinging on to you. I'm just clinging on to dear life. In fact, I'm just clinging on that we're going to make it this month. And AKA, boom, no lights in the middle of the night. Are we going to make it? And it is impossible to please God without faith. And it is impossible to please God without faith. This, as I said last week, speaks directly against comfort. It's a contradiction towards the comfort that we seek. But I'd like us to speak about a scripture we know all too well, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right? Anyone hear the scripture before? And you've all heard different interpretations. But if it's okay, I'd like to look at one or two different interpretations of that as we go to the next slide. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, which is actually a better description than the word fear, but of power and love and discipline. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardness, but of power and love and of self-control. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you will walk among snakes and scorpions, and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Please take note that the enemy does have power. So if anyone says to you, no, the devil has no power, that is an absolute lie. The devil has no authority. See, Christ came and took away his authority. So there's power, but no authority. So if you stand in authority, that power of the enemy cannot minister against you. Does that make sense? That's what the scripture is teaching us. Psalm 91. If, listen carefully, if you make the Lord your refuge, dwelling place, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Matthew 28. Very, very famous piece of scripture. If you're in the evangelistical movement, the charismatic movement. And Christ came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. Go, therefore, in the power of God. It's speaking about the power of God, all authority, power, love, make disciples. Observe self-control, discipleship, discipline. Do you see that? The Great Commission speaks similarly of the power and authority that God's given us, love, power, and a sound mind. Being self-control. I opened and started this year with, who can remember, the true vine. Does anyone remember that? Those of you that were here. We started for a word for this year being in the true vine, and we'll get to that now, but 1 John 4, verse 12 to 21, says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, to make this make a little bit more sense, I've put in the word there dwells, if that's all right. So, no one has ever seen God, and you don't ever add to Scripture. I just want to say that, okay? You can't put your own interpretation. But the abiding and the dwelling is the same thing, if you're with me this morning. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Can we go to the next part of that scripture? Whoever confesses that Christ is the Son of God, God abides, dwells in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence, we may have boldness for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. God gives us love and gives us boldness for the judgment that's to come. So getting out of stuck. Esther said so nicely about, we're going to be speaking about the school of intercession, school of prayer. And at that school of prayer, we're going to speak a little bit more about this, and we'll delve into this in intimacy with God. Most of us struggle and are stuck because we've walked away from intimacy with God. Our quiet time is the 15 minutes that we have between our home and our work. You put on a podcast, you put on a worship CD, for those of us that's semi-spiritual, you know? Put on, most of us probably listen to the radio or Radio Tijgerberg or whatever. We have a little gospel song. And that's become our quiet time. That's become our dwelling space. The 15 minutes between absolute chaos and craziness at home and absolute craziness and chaos at work. That's become our all-consuming quiet time. That's where we dwell. The problem with that is that God's called us to dwell in His presence. This is not a visit. It's not a visitation. It's a being at all times. It's a knowing God at all times. Dwell speaks about habitation, a fixed position, to camp and to stay there, to abide in Him. That's what the word abide means. As we see in John 15, the true vine. Is it interesting that for those of you that that joined us at the D4J prayer room, we prayed through the scripture of John 15, that we would abide in God. I believe this is a word for the year for us to really seek and say, Lord, I desire to abide in You. The Lord has given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16, verse 8. See, God's heart, His plan is to prosper us, hope of a future, right? We like quoting these kind of scriptures. But to do so, there's conditions. And the condition is, Matthew 16, verse 24, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Follow Him. Now, what I'm not saying is, okay, are you telling me I'm not allowed to own my own home? Do I need to set up everything and become a gypsy for Jesus? Okay, no, not in the least. Not even close. What I'm saying is that when you come home and your child is sick, who are you relying on? Are you relying on your finances, on the doctors, or on God? I'm not saying don't take your children to doctors. I'm saying, do you pray first? I'm saying that when you have a financial crisis, do you go ask God about it first, or do you end up screaming at God? Lord, I need more money. I need a better job. Right? How many of us feel frustrated in work? I've had a job or two in my lifetime. Cake, hallelujah, the Lord tested me, eh? I worked in the NGO industry. The pay is nothing. The work is ridiculous. The expectations is beyond. There's days I'm saying, Lord, take me home. I'm ready to meet You, Jesus. Right? We've all been there. Isn't that so? But in those moments, are we crying out to God or are we crying at God? So easy to become the accuser of the brethren or the accuser even of God sometimes. And the Lord says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me. With that, He has great plans to prosper us, plans of hope, plans of a future. He's given us His Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us through these difficult things that come across our way. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, when you're abiding in Christ, you start knowing Christ. When we dwell with God, we start to know God. And when we start to know God, we know what God's desire is. Holy Spirit leads us to see the desires of God. And when we know the desires of God and we see a circumstance, then we can start praying. And we can release God and we can do what we call to do, to bind and to loosen. Isn't that awesome? I'll give you a minute to think about it. No, I'm serious. You can loosen the favor of God on your life. You can loosen God's will. You can bind things to God's will. Did you know that? Because I know we like to focus on the devil on this. So maybe next time when you're praying for someone's salvation, your aunt, your uncle, your dad, your mom, your sister, your brother, you bind them to the calling of God. Did you know you can do that? You can bind them to salvation. You can call them to salvation. You can call them out of darkness. What I'm not saying is it's a quick fix. You hear me also? I have a few weird things that happens around me now and then. When the devil's after me, I have IT problems. I don't know if you have that problem too. No, but I'm serious. So my favorite challenge and test is usually when I'm about to preach, my laptop doesn't start. And as I was preparing my sermon and Michaela had worked through the Word of God with me, worked through my Bible, my laptop just died right there, just died. Now, no laptop, no sermon. All right, that's how I work. Okay, unfortunately, I'm not as anointed as Ross and these other guys. If I don't have my notes in front of me, I'm in trouble. Okay, because I need to know what was I thinking when I put this on paper. All right, what was God saying at that moment? I have to remind, I've got all these notes here. Sometimes I look at the notes and go, what was I really thinking? This is strange revelations this man had. And this morning was no different. So my laptop just dies. Okay? And what I did was, what I do every time my laptop dies, I resurrected it. I said, in the name of Jesus, you will work. I put it on and started immediately. Now, most of you will go, yeah, okay, dude, whatever. The problem is, it works every time. And this is like a habit in my life. It's a conversation I'm still having with God. Why he's got such a problem with why the devil is in all IT. Because I like my iPhone, Lord. It's my phone. It's my iPhone. We have the power to loosen God's heart. We have the power to bind God's heart. So Matthew is recording Christ, and Christ says this in Matthew 16. And then two chapters later, Christ again says it. So there's something we want to take. If it's in the same book twice, we really have to listen. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That's the King James. I like the NLT. I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. What do you allow is allowed. If you allow people to steal from you, you're allowing it in heaven to reign in your life. If you forbid it on earth, then it's forbidden in heaven. For some of us, we have to take God to the workplace and we have to realize you're at war at work. That's why you're there. This is my war space. Being in the church, this is my job. This is what God's called me to do. But you need to do the same in your workspace. So when you arrive at the hospital, you go take authority. When you arrive at the accounting company, you take authority. When you arrive at Sanlam, you take authority. When you arrive at Old Mutual, you take authority. Wherever you work. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you don't have to arrive. You're already there. Just take authority. You're one step above us. I had a few years ago when I was helping plant the small groups in Somerset West, I had this young lady. She never got married. She had a child out of wedlock and gave her life later to the Lord. And she was a teacher, and she was really struggling with the kids. It was chaos in her class. She had those little munchkins, right, the little ones. And so I said to her, okay, you're going to go do spiritual warfare. And she said, what is that? And I said, you're going to take a bottle of oil, and every day you're going to anoint your classroom. Then before the kids arrive, you take authority over your classroom. You declare how you want your classroom to work. For the first month, guess what happened? Nothing. But after 3 months, that whole classroom transformed. Kids would behave. Teachers started asking, how are you doing? What style are you using? Are you using a new technique? Are you beating the children up that we don't know of? What's going on here? And then she could start testifying of who Christ is and how Christ is. And then they started doing it in the school. Because if it works, it works, right? And many of the teachers were Christians. And they started anointing their room, their classrooms. They started taking authority in the spirit realm over the children. That no spirit of chaos will happen, or no rebellion. And now the children are enjoying school. Imagine that. And there's joy. And there's hope. And then things started coming out in the children's lives. For instance, one child started coming out that he's being abused by his father. They would not have been able to come out if there was chaos, because you won't be all that chaos of 20 or 30 kids or who knows how many kids running around, be able to notice that something's wrong in a child's life. Because all she did was this principle. She went and took authority. So for many of us, the reason we're stuck is because we're a doormat. We're a coward. There's a cowardness that comes upon us. There's a spirit of timidity that comes upon us, and we allow it. Or a spirit of fear, whatever you want to call it. What if I lose my job? What if no one wants to hang with me or have lunch with me? What if they think I'm like Bernie, the weird guy? I tell you, if you take authority and you stand your conviction, God will meet you. Because you know that scene in is it in Lion King where little Simba roars? And everyone freaks out, and Mufasa's behind him. Okay? It's that moment where you say, Yella solve the tuniwer. Jesus say. And meanwhile, God's standing behind him. Okay, we're not doing that again. Because the fear of God comes upon them. So it's not by the tone of your voice or the level of your voice or if you shout or scream or dance. It's about the quiet place and the rest of God, knowing who God is, allowing God and saying, not on my watch. Not on my watch. It ain't going to happen here. Because God has given us authority. So, it's not that the enemy has power over you. because he does have power, it's that we're not taking that authority to be able to say, uh-uh. And it's because we're not abiding in Christ, so we don't know authority in any case. The Lord often takes me to scary places in prayer. But before I can get to that scary place to pray what the Lord is showing me, I really have to know it's of God. There has to be confirmation, and then I pray God's will. I've told the testimony of about 2 years ago. It's we as Cape Town. Ryan was there that day. Matthew was there that day. And we prayed, and God said the Tuesday we must pray for rain. And I looked up in the sky. There's no rain. And look on my app. There's no rain. And Thursday morning, I say, we're going to pray for rain. And everyone's, oh, that's cool. We're going to pray for rain. Like, we should pray for, you know, you should pray for rain. It's a good thing to pray. I said, no, we're going to do a bit different this morning. We're going to command rain. There's a difference between asking for rain and commanding rain. And that's that watershed fear faith moment where everyone goes, come again. No, we're going to command rain. It's going to rain. And I'm talking like resignations ready to be written. Dear Shepherd Church, let the sheep down. So sorry. The intercessors, we commanded. We did our best. We tried. No, that moment God had spoken to me and I knew that God says it's going to rain, so I trusted God's going to rain. And I, as I said, shared before, we all walked out. We do breakfast. We used to do breakfast together. Cape Townians do breakfasts in very expensive coffee shops. And everyone has this twist in their neck as we walk out the building. And it's so blue, it's just blue, and it's a beautiful blue. Yeah, beautiful. Stunning. Not a breath of wind. Nada. And that night, like hail down on Cape Town. Like came down in buckets for one night. Because we heard God's voice. Greg, you were still around those days, right? Yeah, Greg was there. Greg was sleeping in that morning. Came down in buckets because God said we did. You hear the God of voice and you're able to release. We were able to release the heavens, pray the heavens to open. It was only for one night. We've got a long road still to walk. But for one night, God heard the prayers. And also to say, I don't believe we were the only people that heard from God that day. God speaks to all his sheep. And those that heard prayed. So it's not like we're a special group that was elite in any kind of way. When you know God. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go. Now go. It's not a staying word. It's a going word. Remember what happened for those of you in the evening service a few weeks ago when I preached? Remember what happened at Babel? Can anyone remember what they said in Babel? Nah, we ain't going nowhere. We're going to stay here for eternity come. We're going to build a cool building. It's going to reach the heavens. And it's going to be awesome because we're not going. We're staying. And God had to come down and said, I have said to you, go forth into all the world and multiply. All the world is not here. And he sent them further. God has commissioned us to go. And if I could line each one of us up, I would do so and I'd say, now go to the job that God's called you to do. Greg, I can't remember where you're working now, but go to Ernest & Young where you used to work. Don't go there ever again. You've moved on to better things, praise God. But go. Heinrich, go to ShopRite. He doesn't shop there, he works there. All right. And you kind of go, yeah, but. See, no ShopRite, no food. No food, chaos. Chaos. Many of us are called into maybe a service sector or we're called into the finance sector. You see, if we don't have an economy, we're in trouble. So we can't be the breadbasket for the world or for this nation or for this continent at least if our economy is not strong. And if our economy is not strong, it means we're not doing what God's called us to do. God's placed you in the economy to do something. So if you're abiding in Christ and you're having a meeting, guess what? God can picture that meeting and he can whisper into your ear and say, this is a trap. This is dead works. We're going to lose money here. It is really the heart of God, listen to me very carefully, to partner with you at your workplace. Now, I know you think you're good. All right? You're good in that space, right? That's why you do it. Sure, I hope so. You're okay, at least, at functional. I hope. If you're not, come talk to me. We need to maybe look at that new career path. But do you trust God there? Completely, utterly. As if it was your child that is sick or dying. Maybe you need to remind yourself how you were as a student every time you wrote an exam. You command it like this, like no one's business. In the name of Jesus, I command that I will know everything that's asked in this paper. I will get 100, I claim 110% Jesus. We need to go back to that place of moving in faith and saying, Lord, I give you my company. I welcome you in this company. This is my desk and where I sit. I am the salt and the light. You know why salt? Because salt makes you thirsty. Okay? People need to be licking you. Spiritually. I don't know. And they need to get thirsty. I'm not talking to the single people in the church now that's looking at a girl. Let's not get weird here, right? Shofar, strange doctrines. Oh, licking doctrine. We are the salt of the earth. People need to experience God and want more of it. And that can only happen if the place you work is an altar. In other words, God is there. And you're praying in your seat. And you're taking authority. And then God will add favor. You've never met the CEO of the company before, but now he's your best friend. And you're going to go, oh, I'm going to get a promotion. No, you're not there for a promotion. You're there just to pray for him. So you can just share what's going on in his life so you can just cover him in prayer. That's enough to start. And then maybe there'll be a promotion one day. Remember comfort. Most of us want more promotions so we can be more comfortable. Got to check our hearts. Most of the suffering, no, I can't say that. Much of suffering that we see in Christianity today, I believe, is because we don't understand authority. There is a place of suffering. We must suffer for the gospel. I see very little suffering of the gospel. I see very much suffering of self, just suffering. And so I invite us in this next while to start taking authority. Start as husband and wife of your family. Start praying together again. Pray blessings of your family. Pray blessings into your house. Take authority of your house. Take a bottle of oil. Go anoint your house. When last have you anointed your house? When last have you anointed your business? When last have you invited your friends over, not for a braai, but to go and anoint your building where you work? And then go braai. God desires to move with us and amongst us. He wants us unstuck. He wants us to walk in freedom. We're the problem. Most of the time. For those of you with children, when your child starts saying stuff, please start listening. As I say, Mama, does iemand by die deur? Can I ask if they see it two or three times, instead of telling the child you're not seeing anything, that's next Dani, can I ask you to go and pray about it and go anoint where they're seeing these things? Especially if it's the same window every time. I heard an amazing testimony of a child that's actually seeing angels. He said, Mama, does a engel, die oë is by die venster. Isn't that beautiful? Husbands, when your wife says, ek voel nie lekker oor hierdie ding nie, iets is verkeerd.
Ja, ons gaan hy bakkie koop, want ek sê so.
Okay? Let me explain to you, ladies and gentlemen. God has given you a partner so you can see, because you don't know it all. One last testimony. So, Matty and I, when we were married in Cape Town, she had a Ford. Was it a Fiesta? No, I can't remember. Small Ford. And this Ford, Lord bless Fords, understood how not to work. It had reached the end of her life, and she was useless. And we were spending so much money just to have and the same problem every time. And then the mechanics tell you every time it's something else that's broken. You know how it goes. And so we started praying. And our prayers was, Lord, we want to buy a car. We need a car. Matty needs to get work. It's very practical. We'd gone and stood on the N2 once, a place you don't want to stand. You know, those kind of things. It starts really getting dangerous. And we asked, and Matty was like, I want a Ford. Because I know Ford. And I love a Ford. And I go, okay, I'm a good husband. I know where not to argue. And we get this Ford, and it's a great special. It's almost brand new. And we're like, this is of the Lord. And something in my spirit goes, okay, let's just pray about this. And Matty's prayed already, right? She's, love, I hope you don't mind me sharing the story. Matty's prayed about it already. The answer's all yes. Okay, you can see in the eyes, it's just everything's yes. And the Lord says to me, no. And I said to Matty, love, the Lord says no. And then she goes, but is there something wrong with the car? Is it? So she goes and finds the previous owner. So it's through a dealership. Finds the previous owner, okay, which you're not allowed to do, or like through dealers. Okay, well, here's the person's number. What's wrong with the car? No, there's nothing wrong with the car. Just selling, I upgraded to a Mercedes or something like that, you know, typical. And life after 40s and Mercedes. And so Matthew's came, but what's wrong with the car? Do you think something's wrong with the car? And I said, there's nothing wrong with the car. It's just not the car God has for us. And then God came and blessed us with a car that we have now, that we were able to buy cash, because God had a better idea. But you see, with Matty, she had to get over the fact that the Ford is not our shepherd. See, sometimes we're so stuck on something that we have to go and hear from God, that God can open up so that we can change, so he can bring his will. Until then, we're stuck. Go and ask the Holy Spirit. Go ask the Father. Go spend time with Christ and ask the Lord to reveal the authority he has for you and has given you. So on a practical level, if you're a manager and you have people underneath you, those people fall under you, right? So you have authority over them. You have a delegated authority by your company to manage them. That's also a spiritual delegation that you can pray for them. Pray for their marriages. Pray for their lives. Pray for their children. The Lord has given us a spirit of not timidity, but of power, love. Go love on them. They'll change your heart towards them. They won't irritate you so much. But go ask God for the authority, to understand the authority. We have the authority. We have to have a recognition of authority. What was those two last, sorry before, what was those two last slides? Please work laptop, thank you. The truth will not set you free. knowing the truth will set you free. The truth will not set you free. Knowing the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. You have to know God. And lastly, there's a change of focus that needs to happen. Our prayers need to change from, thank you for saving me from hell, to thank you for saving me, now send me into the hells of this world. So in your business place where that one job that no one wants, you need to go, I want it. You need to go to the big boss and say, I'll take it. The one that no one can answer, the one that's impossible. Because I've got God, I'll do this. I've got authority. And you seek a team that's got authority and you go and take it on. I believe that's a word actually for someone specific here this morning. Because God is the answer. He's involved in our workplace. He's involved in our lives.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.